following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, before we dive in, just real quick so you know where we're at. We finished Jude last week. We are a church that loves to teach through the Bible, and I don't just say that lightly. We actually really do love teaching through the Bible. And in fact, I've often thought, like, I wouldn't know what to do on a Sunday morning if I wasn't teaching the Bible. So I would be stuck. If someone said, hey, you have to choose something other than, I'd be like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I only do one thing. I'm a one-trick pony. I teach the Bible. So we just finished Jude last week. We are starting in 1 John this morning. So we are going to start in 1 John. Trivia question. How many Johns are there in the Bible? In the list of Bibles? Five. Somebody's good over there. There's right. There's John, right? The Gospel of John. Then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then what else? Revelation. Oh, Bible students over here. Woo! All right. There's no 4th John, by the way. There's not 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th John. It's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we're going to be in those 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Johns over the coming weeks and probably months. Here's what John wants you to know. He says this, oftentimes, as you study through both the gospel and the letters, he says this, that you may know, and that's the title of our message series as we go through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that you may know what? That you may know who Jesus truly is. That's what his heart's desire is, that you would know who Jesus truly is. And so John is passionate, as we are passionate about you coming to know and walk with Jesus. And I think all of us, and this is what we'll pray for right now, all of us would desire to walk with him a little closer. Amen? That all of us, and some of us have maybe been walking with him for some time, and that's great. But at the end of the day, when we study these truths about who Jesus truly is, the desire of your pastor and the one teaching, and I hope your desire is that I would just learn about him and walk with him a little closer. And John's saying that you may know who this Jesus is, and you will worship him and praise him and love him even more. So let's pray for that right now. Lord, as we start this series in John, I just pray over the entire series, Lord, that as people come, as we come together, as we gather together and we listen to the teaching of your word, and as we read your word, may we love you just a little bit more. May we grow in you just a little bit more. The more we know about you, would we love you that much more? And so I pray that over the parking lot this morning and those watching online this morning. I pray that you would just, as we listen to the teaching of the word by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you just grow us in you just a little bit more? Lord, move us down that pathway of maturity in you. And maybe even, Lord, this morning, as someone listens to who Jesus truly is, as John reveals it in his letters, Lord, they come to know you and walk with you and be found in you. I pray that this morning, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about this morning is John is writing so that you may know. And I believe one of the things he wants us to gain this morning is that you may know that Jesus is trustworthy. That Jesus is trustworthy. Now, I don't know about you, but this in 2020 has been a crazy year of shifting sands, right? Politically, financially, right? Health-wise, people, who do you listen to? Like, who do you trust, right? Who are we supposed to trust in 2020? Like, people say one thing and then another group of people say another thing and you're found yourself thinking, this is hard mentally on my soul, right? Who do I trust? And I think at the end of the day, one of those things that we want to say this morning is that we want to put ultimately our trust in the Lord. And as we do that, I'm going to have actually two of my friends come out here. Actually, one is my friend and the other one is my son. And we're going to do a little trust example here. Now, Michael doesn't really have to trust me right now, but this other one does. Oh, boy. Okay, we'll see how this works. Now, I brought a towel just in case this thing does not go quite as planned. I brought a towel for you, son. This is my son, Jack. He's learned over the years that he can trust me, right? Can you trust me? He trusts me. I said, Jack, now you might get a little wet, but probably not. Now, do you trust Michael is the question, because you know me. Michael's going to hold this bag over Jack's head of water. And I'm going to attempt, hopefully this is sharp enough, I'm going to attempt to take this pencil and poke it through the bag without getting Jack wet.
Are you sure you're ready for this one?
All right. So can I get a drum roll? There it is. All right. All right. Louder with the drum roll. It won't go through if you don't have the drum roll. It's super important. All right. Do you trust me?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Ready? Oh, I think we could do more than one. I think we should try to do two and see if that bag holds up. Right? Do you trust me?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Two. All right. One more. Let's do one more just for fun. And let's just see if we can get this thing to pop. I'm just kidding. All right. One more. Here we go. Ready? Oh, nice. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Excellent work. You're very great help. Great help. Now, listen. Such a small thing, right? A bag of water over my son's head. And if it did break, we'd all laugh and it'd be fun and he'd still probably trust me. But listen, trust is so valuable in a relationship with someone. Over the years, my hope is with this little guy. He's bigger now. He's not little anymore. He's in fifth grade. He's my little guy, though. I want him to trust me more than just with a bag over his head. I want him to be able to trust me as his father, because trust between a father and son is paramount. It's so critical. Trust between a spouse, so critical. Trust even a work environment is so critical. But can I just tell you that your trusting in the Lord is even more critical? Your ability to say, I trust you, Lord, more than just with a bag over your head, right? That's a small thing. With the big things of life, for you to be able to say, I trust you with all parts of my life is huge. We've got a banner out here that says, and I'll paraphrase it, but it says, regardless of whoever wins the presidency, Jesus is still on the throne, right? Amen? Right. I got that all morning, right? Absolutely. That's absolutely true. But is it true of you? In a circumstance when we talk about government and presidency and craziness that's going on, can you say, regardless of who wins in November, my king, I trust in him. He's still on the throne. I think that's a huge thing for us to be able to say, but that's just one aspect of life that we say, regardless of what circumstance brings into my life, good or bad, I will still trust in the Lord. I will put my faith in him. And John is writing this letter to a group of people that have been swayed in their faith. He's writing to a group of people that false teaching has come in, and some, he's heard, have started to kind of step away from that truth that they once found in Christ, in trusting in him. And so he's writing to tell them, listen, this is paramount, the bag over the head, that you trust Jesus, that you put your trust in him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. If you're not there, turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to hear what John writes to the people. Here's the question that we're asking today. When it feels like we are going to burst, where do you go first? Huh? Come on, that was good. Come on, I worked on that for a... When it feels like you're going to burst, where do you go first? I got one more. Here you go. When things are about to bust, who do you trust? A, the bag. See what I'm saying? The bag over the head. If it's going to bust, who do you? Okay. Right? That's the question. And here's the big question. Where are you putting your trust? And is the place that you're putting your trust, is it strong enough? Is it big enough to carry all your burdens? If it's on a person, if it's on a spouse, or maybe it's on someone at work, if you're putting all your anxiety and stress and burden, they're not big enough for that. They're just not. And if it's on a substance, like I run there when I get anxious or worried or stressed, and I'm putting my trust in something else to solve that problem, I think you and I both know that's not big enough to handle all that's going on inside of you. And instead, here's the reality. John is saying, hey, put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Listen to what he says here. Chapter 1, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, there's two beginnings for John. And actually, there were two beginnings for you as well, for many of you. There's two beginnings for John. There's the beginning, all the way at the front end of the Bible, where God created the heavens and the earth. That's one beginning for John. And then there's the beginning of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. And you had two beginnings. You had the beginning that you entered into physical life. You were born. 100% of you went through that, right? You were born. And then for many of you, you gave your life to the Lord. You began to trust in him. And that was a new beginning for you. Look at the first beginning that John's talking about. Look at in all the way back, if you will. Go. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. And many of you know this. But in John's gospel, he starts his gospel off in John chapter 1, verse 1. He starts his gospel off with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Somebody help me. Who was the Word? Jesus. He says, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was, talking about Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Talking about Jesus, Jesus all the way in the beginning. Now, John knows this. He's playing off of Genesis 1:1. John has two beginnings. He said, listen, Jesus is at both of the beginnings. He's at the beginning all the way back in creation. He's part of creation, speaking into creation, part of creating. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John knows this. When you put your trust in Jesus, this is what he wants you to know. When you put your trust in Jesus, you're putting your trust in the one that was creation, created, part of all that went on in creation, part of the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're putting your faith and trust in the one that was at the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am, the creator. He was before both the chicken and the egg, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're putting your faith and trust in someone who's been there. Now, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, when those times of worry and stress and anxiety come, where am I putting my trust? And anything short of putting my trust in the one that was at the beginning falls short. In other words, if I'm trying to find that the appeasement from someplace other than putting my faith and trust in Jesus, no one else can bear the weight of that burden. No one else can handle it. The only one and the only place that I need to be putting my faith and trust is the one that was at the beginning. Now, John also has another beginning, as I already said. It's the beginning of the gospel. There's a moment in time when everything changes, right? Number one, creation. Number two, Jesus steps onto the face of the earth. The Redeemer has come. Emmanuel, God with us. And he's saying, listen, there's a time where at the beginning, and here's, in fact, John, as a young man, starts following Jesus. Jesus calls John, who we're reading from this morning, as a young man. But now, by the time he's writing, he's an older man. Probably doesn't have much more time. And in fact, many of the apostles at this point, many believe that they were already gone. John's the remaining apostle. And he's looking back over his life. And he's looking back to when everything changed at the beginning, when Jesus stepped onto the face of the earth and his life radically changed. And he's saying, listen, my life has changed. God has stepped onto the face of the earth, and your life will change as you trust in him. as you walk with him. In fact, around that same time as John's gospel, there's a belief coming into the church called Gnosticism. And it was this idea that Jesus was never a physical being, that he was a spiritual being. That in fact you couldn't touch Jesus, that Jesus was kind of just this spiritual being that was walking on the face of the earth. And that there was a certain knowledge that you had to understand this kind of truth. And John's saying, no, no, listen, go back to the beginning. Let me testify and declare to you that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was physical and that he walked on the face of the earth. That's why he writes, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and listen, and our hands have handled. We were there, John says. I was there as a young man, and I walked with Jesus those dirt paths, and I got to see him heal people, cast out demons. I got to hear him preach and teach the 5,000, the woman at the well. I was there the whole time. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, let me tell you, this teaching that is breaking into the church is false teaching. Go back to the beginning. The things that you once knew that we taught you, go back to that moment again. John's desire and his passion is that people would come to trust in Jesus for who he is. And I believe that's the same that is true this morning. That you would come to a deeper understanding and love and appreciation of who Jesus truly is. John says that's his heart. That's what he testified about. Here's one of the most amazing things in all of Scripture to me. And I think you will agree with me as a believer in Christ, if you are, is that God, the creator of all things, right? Creator of all things, steps into humanity and dwells amongst us. Think about what that means for us. That's an incredible reality. And John says, listen, people are losing that idea and that concept. I need to bring them back to that again so that they would understand what God did for us. The word there is incarnation, right? It's God putting on flesh and dwelling amongst his people, demonstrating who he is, his heart, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. Why? Because he loves us. You see, this is a hang-up for many people. The idea that an all-powerful being would humble themselves and walk on the face of the earth. Why would a God do that? That doesn't make any sense. And yet one of the greatest truths of all the Bible and of all Christianity is that we serve a God who loved us enough to step down into our world and demonstrate for us his love, his grace, his compassion, and his mercy. Four passages. I want you just to jot down the address. I'll read them to you. I think they're powerful. And in this moment, as John is saying, get off this idea that Jesus was just some spiritual being, right? He physically dwelt among us. John 1:14. You can write that address down. John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word Jesus dwelt among us. Hebrews 1:1. God, after he spoke long ago to our fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. Not done. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power, speaking of Jesus. That's powerful. He came and dwelt amongst us. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Don't let go of your confession, of your truth, of who Jesus is. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, because we have a high priest in Jesus who can sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who has been tempted in all ways, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are incredible truths that should draw us deeper into a love relationship with the God who says, I will come and dwell amongst you. God, why would you do that? Because I love you. Because I desire a relationship with you. Because if I come walk amongst you, you will see my heart for you and who I truly am. And I will pay a penalty for your sins that I could not pay for if I did not walk amongst you. I will pay a penalty for your sins that you can't pay. Whew. That's powerful. That's powerful. One more. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, why read those four passages? Why talk about the incarnation? Here's why. Because if you're putting your trust in anywhere else other than in the God who would be willing to do that for you and for me, then that we're putting our trust in the wrong place. Jesus is trustworthy. Well, Jeff, how do you know Jesus is trustworthy? Because Jesus came from heaven to earth to walk amongst us and to love us and to demonstrate the heart of God for us. And to me, that says God is worthy of my trust, of me putting my trust in him. And in fact, what I found out in life, and maybe you have too, there's very few other places that we can put our trust with 100% certainty. In fact, there's no other place. And as great as our spouse may be, or as our roommate may be, or that person at work, or the person who comes and speaks into my life, great as they are, they're not 100% certified to take my trust. There's only one God who is 100% certified to take our trust. And that's where we go. And Jesus is saying, and John is saying, listen, he is worthy of your trust. Now, that's the first part. Develop that and understand that and praise God for that. Love him more because of that. Now, there's three results for putting our trust in him. Three results that John says will happen as you put your trust in him. Result number one, you will have life. If you're a note taker, result number one of putting your trust in Jesus is you will have life. Look at that. He says, I'm writing to you, I'm declaring to you, verse 1, concerning the word of life. He goes on in verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What's he saying? Look how many times he uses the word life there, right? We're declaring to you about the word of life. He says, the life. And then he says, eternal life that's come to you. Well, how does it come to me? In the person of Jesus. Jesus is the word of life. He is the life, and he is eternal life. Now, here's the thing. For the most part, as I look around, you're all alive, right? That's a good thing, right? You've come and you're alive. Your heart is beating, most of you, and you're breathing, most of you, right? And you have that sort of life. At one point, you were born and life came into you. But there's another life that he's talking about. He's not talking about that you will have physical life. He's talking about a different sort of life. In fact, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verse 31, here's what he says. But these I write to you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. John says, I'm writing this gospel to you so that you will believe. That you will put your trust in Jesus. Look what happens then. The Christ, the Son of God. That believing, you may have life in his name. Now, somebody would say, well, I'm living. Like, I'm sitting in this parking lot, and I have life. So what life are you talking about? Well, let's let Jesus answer that question. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says this, and I'm going to need your help, so get ready. The word is life, okay? It's life. Ready? Here we go. He says this, I am the resurrection and the, Okay, let's do it a little bit louder. Okay, here we go. I am the resurrection and the right. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What? That you could lose the heart beating and the breathing out of my nose and my mouth, that I'm gone, that I'm laying down, I'm out, right? I'm dead, and yet shall he live? There's a different sort of life that John is saying, this life giver has come. Eternal life has come, that there's something else beyond this physical life. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the... Good. That's good. No one comes to me except by the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to me except through the Father. John, 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has... It's weakening, though. But that's okay. We'll take it. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. Now you could be sitting here, you could be watching online this morning, and you could be like, I have life. I'm alive. What's he talking about? He's talking about eternal life, the life that goes beyond this one. And you could have life, physical life, heart beating life, breathing life. But I could be missing out on what Jesus is saying, and what John is saying is that eternal life has come. And he's come and dwelt among us. And he's offered eternal life. I could be missing that this morning. True life. As we gather around the word of life and eternal life, it's an amazing reality. Result number one of trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus, is that you will have life, true life, eternal life. Result number two of trusting in Jesus is you will have fellowship. What's fellowship? That sounds like a really churchy word, fellowship. Well, let's talk about it for a second. Look what he says here in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What's the word there in Greek? Does somebody know it? Well, agape love, but koinonia is the word for fellowship. It's koinonia, right? It means this. We have this in common. This is the thing that we have in common. We have koinonia fellowship. This is what we have in common. What is he saying? We're declaring this to you about who Jesus truly is, that he's worthy of your trust so that you will have eternal life and you will have koinonia, this in common with us. Here's what we have in common. Jesus, our understanding and knowing who he truly is. That's the fellowship that we share together. When we gather together as a church, or even if you gather together in your home with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, or whether you gather at a Bible study somewhere, or you gather at work, there's a koinonia fellowship that you have, a commonality that you have with a brother and sister in the Lord. Right? There's power in that relationship, as there is power in the church. Not because the church people are so great. We're not great, right? But because there's power in the presence of the Holy Spirit as he dwells and lives in each and every one of us. Whew. There should be something different about the church as we gather together, as we have koinonia fellowship. I think that's one of the things that's so attractive about the church. Again, not that we're attractive, but the fact that we live in this understanding that we have this commonality in Jesus Christ, the one that was at the beginning, the one that came and walked the face of the earth, the one that brings life. And there should be something different about those people when they come together, right? Don't you agree? That when people who are filled with the Holy Spirit gather together in this thing we call fellowship, there's something different about those people. I would say increased grace, increased love, increased mercy, right? There's a strengthening about being together with those people. If we are truly walking with the Lord, there's something that should be so transformative about being a part of the body of Christ in our lives and in other people's lives. Again, not because we are great, but because what he says here is you will have fellowship, koinonia, Jesus in common with each other. The power of Christ in common with each other. Whew. That should radically transform who we are as the church and the body of Christ. I'm thankful for Refuge. I believe it is filled with people just like that, that rely on the koinonia fellowship of each other, and we build each other up and strengthen each other. In fact, I would say this, the world around us should see something different in this place. Mercy, forgiveness, faith building, iron sharpening iron because of the Holy Spirit. When someone steps in to a church, there should be this sense of, wow, they really love each other, right? The way they treat each other, the way they talk to each other. When someone steps into your home and you're a believer in Christ, there should be something different about that place. You have fellowship, koinonia, something in common. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. He was talking about the 12 disciples or the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. In other words, that people, I'm praying for John, but I'm not just praying for the apostle John, Jesus would say. I'm praying for those that will come to know me because of John, because of the words of John, because of the ministry that John does. I'm praying for those people. Then he says that they all may be, how many? One. How one do you want us to be, Jesus? He says, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Koinonia, fellowship to the umpteenth degree, that they all may be unified as one in us. Grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, peace, patience, joy. Those should all be part of the body of Christ. Not because we're great, because we're one in him. Listen, here's what Jesus says. He says, in order that the world may believe that you sent me. Your oneness, our koinonia, our fellowship speaks to the world around about who Jesus truly is. Let me say that again. Our oneness in our homes, in the church, the big C church, the Refuge, small C church, it speaks to the world around us about who Jesus truly is. Jesus knew this, that they may be one, just like the Father and Son are one, so that they would speak to the world around by their oneness, their koinonia, and their fellowship. So John's saying, listen, I see some of you walking away from the truth about who Jesus truly is. You're falling into false teaching. Come back and be one with us. Koinonia. Have this in common with us. This relationship with Jesus. Now look at what he says. All this is built on this koinonia with the Father in verse 3. All this is built on the koinonia. The truly fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Father and Son, if you don't have relationship, fellowship with the Father and Son, it's really hard to have healthy relationships anywhere else. Let me say it again. If I don't have koinonia fellowship with the Father and the Son, with God, then my relationship on the horizontal level is very difficult with most everyone, right? That the first thing, the foundation of koinonia fellowship within the church and other places, the foundation starts with my relationship with God. If the vertical is not right, the horizontal is really difficult. And so I would ask you in this point and in your life, as John is calling people to say, listen, put your trust in Jesus, have you done that? And what does your relationship on the vertical look like with the living God? And I would say if you're out of step horizontally in other relationships in your life, maybe I would take you back to your relationship with the living God. And fellowship with him. Koinonia is the word there. Commonality with. Koinonia with the living God. Maybe go back to that and say, God, where's my relationship with you? Because it seems like all these other relationships are kind of out of whack. Go back to the relationship with the living God. And those other things will come under that. So result number one of trusting in Jesus is that he brings eternal life. He brings a life that's just not flesh and blood. It's right. It's life eternal. The second result of trusting in Jesus is koinonia fellowship with him, first and foremost, with the living God. Gosh, grab that for a second, right? He says, listen, come have relationship with me. Have fellowship with me, Jeff. Spend time with me. Man, I came and dwelt amongst you. I came and walked amongst you so that you would love me and you would have a relationship with me. Take advantage of that, Jeff, right? Have koinonia fellowship with him. And then this, trusting in Jesus strengthens this body, strengthens the body of Christ here on the earth, the oneness that he has with us, that we have with each other. And the third and the final place, this is where we'll close. The third and final result of trusting in Jesus is that you will have joy. The third and the final result of trusting in Jesus is that you will have joy. Look at verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John says, I am writing to you. Number one, I want you to know that eternal life can be yours if you trust in Jesus. Number two, I want you to have koinonia, fellowship with the living God and with each other. And third, I want you to know that your joy can be full. Your joyness. Yeah, that's a new word. Joyness can be full, all right? That your joy can be full. Now, I don't know how that struck you as you read that and you think about that and you think about your own life in 2020, right? There's been a lot of joy robbing going on, right? There's a lot of attack against your joy. But let me just tell you, joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is when the Lakers win, right? That's happiness. Yay, right? For a sports fan, right? Joy or happiness is temporary. It's finite. It's fleeting. It lasts until they lose, right? Or it's gone by that night even. You forget about it. But there was in that moment that happiness. Yee! Or we're going to, some of you love Disneyland. Someday you'll get to go back, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, Disneyland's opening. We get to go to Disneyland. There's happiness inside of you. And some of you are like, no, that's joy. That's joy, right? But joy, listen, joy is different than happiness. Joy is, regardless of my circumstance, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of how bad 2020 has been or 2020 may be, I will still maintain my joy. I will still have joy because my joy is not circumstantial. My joy is in this truth that John's been preaching to us this morning, which is I have life eternal. I know the life giver. I put my trust in him, and that brings me joy. I have koinonia fellowship with the living God and with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that brings me joy. So regardless of the circumstance, you can't rob my joy. You can rob my happiness. That's temporary. And I'll be happy again some other time. But my joy is found in the Lord. And I would ask you this question this morning is, where is your joy? I get it. It's been attacked, right? But knowing this, that my joy is found in something that cannot be taken away from me, that's huge and that's powerful. That my joy cannot be robbed from me. Whew. Psalm 16:11 says this, you will show me the path of life. And listen, in your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. And the question is, have you been present with the Lord? Have you been spending time with him? Have you been focusing on who you are in him? And I would say that if your joy has been waning, then I would say it's time to go back to him again. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Go back to him again. Remember who he is. He was from the beginning. Remember, he's the life giver. Ah, I have great strength and confidence in that truth. Here's what Jesus says in John 15:1. You can write down the address. John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. Abide in me. Keep walking in me. Yes, I know it's difficult. Yes, I know there's circumstances that you wouldn't have chosen. Jeff, keep abiding in me. What does it mean to abide? He says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen, Jesus says this, These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. And what he's actually saying there is that my joy may abide in you. In the same way, he says, listen, you keep abiding in me. Keep walking in me. He says, when you do that, my joy will abide in you. You'll never lose it as you continue to walk in me. And he says, listen, I'm telling you these things that your joy may be made full. That's what Jesus said. If you abide in me, my joy will abide in you, that your joy may be full. And John, in the letter that we're studying this morning, picks up on that and says, listen, I'm writing these things to you about the life giver. The one that said, I remember he was right there and we were talking. He says, listen, if you abide in me, John, if you keep walking in me and you obey me and you walk with me, we have this relationship together where you're abiding and my joy will abide in you. And John's seen a group of people who are walking away and says, listen, you're going to lose your joy. As you walk and you try to find other places to put your trust, you're going to lose the joy of the Lord in your life. Come back and walk with him again. Come back and walk with him for the first time. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't think I've ever experienced that unending joy or any sort of confidence in a God who loves me or cares for me. And I'm telling you this morning, this could be the change for you. Maybe it's that decision. I mean, I need to start walking with him. I need to start abiding with him again. Maybe that's you this morning. And you come back and put your life back into his hands, trusting in him. Stop going to those empty wells that never satisfy, never, ever satisfy. In fact, they just bring more problems. They're empty wells. And go back to the one that loves you, who said, I'm going to walk amongst you. And come and abide in me and trust in me. And your joy, John says, will be full. You may not be happy. There may be moments of sadness. There may be moments of deep, deep, deep concern and worry. And God, what are you going to do? But listen, you're not going to take my joy. My joy is in the Lord, and it always is there because he put it there. And he is the God that was at the beginning, and he wants and desires relationship with each and every one of us. Amen? Let's pray. God, thanks for your grace and your mercy. Lord, this week, even as I study this, I am reminded of that you have great grace and great mercy for me, and I believe for this congregation and those watching online this morning. Lord, I believe that the next step for someone who said, yeah, I feel like my joy has been robbed a bit, the next step in that is to step closer to you. In your presence is the fullness of joy, it says in Psalms. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And when I'm out of your presence, when I stop walking, when I stop abiding, Lord, there's an emptiness that overcomes. Lord, would you just draw this congregation, maybe that person or these people this morning and throughout this weekend, would you draw us back into abiding with you again? That we would stop trusting in the things that do not fulfill, and instead turn our lives wholly over to you. That we would trust you with all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together and sing this out.
You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. I've never been so set free, caught in your love for me. I've never been so secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I've never been so set free, caught in your love for me. Never been so secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy.
Amen.
Let that song resonate with you all day today. Just keep that song going in your heart and in your mind. Lord, you give me joy down deep in my soul. Circumstance doesn't always give me happiness, but you, Lord, give me joy deep down in my soul. If you're one of those people this morning, maybe, who's saying, listen, I want that joy. I haven't had that joy in my life, or I haven't had that joy for a long time in my life, Jeff. I haven't had that. And maybe this morning that you're going to say, listen, what I heard was that if I abide with him, he will abide with me. He will instill that joy deep down inside of me. And maybe you'd like someone to pray with you about that, receiving that joy, maybe for the first time, or Lord, I want that joy back. There's a prayer team up here who'd love to pray for you. If you're saying, listen, I want to know more about this Jesus guy that we talked about, that we read some powerful, powerful passages this morning. I want to know more about that Jesus. Jonathan Ferguson, one of our pastors over here to the left, wearing a purple shirt and a jacket, would love to pray with you and give you more information, get you a Bible as well. So, hey, live out of that joy this week. If you're a believer and you're walking with the Lord, there is a joy deep down inside. Let it out, right? Praise him for it. Love him for it. Amen? Have a great week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.